Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now it's time for WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, I think for stretches of both games, we played really well. I mean, big leads in both games. So, you know, if we can try to find out what we were doing during those stretches, build on that, and then look at the parts where, you know, where we're giving up a lot of points and not getting stops, you know, try to improve that part. So, I mean, it's a couple games. I mean, it's not the end of the world or anything. And like I said, we had stretches where we were brilliant. So we just got to figure it out. We'll be fine.
Wow, that's Gordon Hayward after the game last night, who actually played well. Like a nice game from Gordon Hayward. Nice to see you. Show up, Gordon. Remember when he scored, what, no points against the Warriors, whatever it was? Nice to see Gordon Hayward show up. He was the best player on the floor for most of the game for the Celtics, despite the fact that at the end of the game, Montrezl Harrell, a center, ripped it away from Gordon Hayward when he was dribbling. Like, your max-level swing man is supposed to be able to take that guy off the dribble, and then he doesn't run back and challenge the shot. A 61% free throw shooter in Montrezl Harrell is allowed to get a free dunk because Gordon Hayward doesn't chase him down. But other than that, Gordon Hayward actually played pretty well last night, except in a critical point in the game, he made a huge mistake. But it's nice to actually see Gordon Hayward last night actually contributing to the team. Very nice to see Gordon Hayward actually contributing to the team last night. So congratulations to Gordon Hayward for actually playing relatively well. Now, not for your contract, but at least you did something last night, which you can say that he played a lot better than most of the Celtics last night. In fact, maybe all of them. All right, number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. You can tweet at me as well. I'm at It's Brian Barrett on Twitter. Okay, now this whole situation with Kyrie Irving. We told you that he's day-to-day with this knee situation. And here's what I was pointing out. If Kyrie Irving is not going to be able to attract Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis is not going to come to the Celtics via trade this offseason, okay, if Danny Ainge can't pull that one off with all the ammo he has, with all the artillery he has in terms of draft capital and young prospects and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, he's been keeping that powder dry. Remember, didn't go after Paul George, didn't go after Jimmy Butler. He's been keeping that powder dry, and apparently he didn't offer Jaylen Brown to the Spurs for the Kawhi Leonard deal, which, I mean, that's a critical mistake if that's true. But nonetheless, you've been keeping the powder dry so you can go after Anthony Davis. But if it happens that you don't come away with Anthony Davis this summer, do you want the Celtics to re-sign Kyrie Irving? Do you want Kyrie Irving back here for 5 years, $188 million, whatever it is? He's going to make $50 million more in Boston than he can anywhere else. Would you want Kyrie Irving back with the Boston Celtics? And I look at Kyrie Irving and I would say, hell no. I don't want him back if he's not coming here with Anthony Davis. I'm sorry. Kyrie Irving is the second best player on a championship team. We saw it with the Cavaliers. And right now what I've seen with Kyrie Irving this year is horrible leadership. He continues to call out the young guys. And when has Kyrie Irving ever made somebody else better? Honest question. If you think you have the answer that Kyrie Irving's making somebody else better, let me know, because this is what I know. Kyrie Irving is Allen Iverson a couple years later, 10, 15 years later. That's what Kyrie Irving is. Allen Iverson is an incredible talent, was an incredible talent. Now, Allen Iverson, some stupid mistakes off the court. The guy would buy new clothes every place he went and just leave them there. Okay, that's why he had all these financial issues. Okay, but nonetheless, on the court, great player. Unbelievable one-on-one scorer. Did anyone think that Allen Iverson had ever made anyone better? No, he played with a bunch of goons in Philly that would just play defense and rebound for him so he could do his thing. But he never elevated anybody else's game around him. Who on this Celtics team is Kyrie Irving making better? That's what I would ask you. And you want to deal with the drama for 5 more years of Kyrie Irving if he doesn't have another superstar with him. Now, if Anthony Davis comes, that's different. I would want Kyrie Irving back because Anthony Davis will be the best player on the team, and Kyrie Irving can go back to being number two like he was in Cleveland, where he was just a scorer. That's what Kyrie Irving was. But he didn't have to be the face of the franchise. And even if he wants to be the star publicly, because Kyrie Irving is a very popular player across the league. We all know this. He has all the commercials. He has a signature shoe, which Shockingly, Anthony Davis doesn't have a signature shoe. He's one of the five best players in the league. But Anthony Davis is fine taking the backseat role in terms of the media stuff, in terms of the attention. He'd be fine with that. So I'm not saying Kyrie Irving doesn't still get to be the superstar, the star of the team, but he will be the second best player. I'm fine with Kyrie Irving if he's the second best player on my team. I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with five more years of this where we have to keep hearing him call out the young guys. Imagine, this is 1 year with Kyrie Irving frustrated with these young guys. What happens if Jason Tatum doesn't improve immensely next year? Then what happens with Kyrie Irving? How often are we going to get Kyrie Irving being cranky and being angry? So if Anthony Davis isn't coming to the Celtics this summer, and we'll see what happens, I would still call Anthony Davis on his bluff where they're basically putting it out there that he would not re-sign. I would call him on the bluff and say, okay, if you get here with Kyrie, you guys go to the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, you're going to walk away to play with 35-year-old LeBron James? That's what you want to do? Okay, Anthony, we'll call you on that one, okay? And once he gets here, he'll get recruited by Kyrie Irving to stay, and Danny Ainge and company and Brad Stevens, I imagine that he's going to stay with the Celtics if Kyrie Irving is with the team. Because you know what Kyrie Irving's not going to do? You know what Kyrie Irving doesn't have the balls to do? He's not going to call out Anthony Davis publicly when Anthony Davis is such a great talent. That's not going to happen. But if Anthony Davis does not come to the Celtics, I don't want any part of Kyrie because he does not make other people better, and you're going to have to deal with all the drama. Think about this from the guys on the team, okay? Jaylen Brown, for example, and you can say some of this is because these guys got more opportunities, but the game should be easier for these guys if they're playing with a superstar. Kyrie Irving is Allen Iverson. He's not Steve Nash. He's not Jason Kidd. Those guys make other people better. Remember Jason Kidd? He got Brian Scalabrine a big contract for him. A big contract. He got Richard Jefferson paid. Steve Nash made Sean Marion a star. Okay, who did Allen Iverson ever make a star? Nobody. Okay, he wanted to score for himself. That's what he was going to do. Kyrie Irving, one of the best scorers in the NBA. You're talking about a playoff series, end of the game. There's only a couple guys in the league that I'd rather the ball be in their hand than Kyrie Irving's because he is so great in that situation. He's a better postseason player, actually, than a regular season player because you can't carry a team the way Kyrie plays for 82 games. But when you get to the postseason and it's the fourth quarter and it's a tie game, you know that there's nobody in the world that can defend this guy one-on-one. He's proven that. Best team in the world, the Golden State Warriors can't defend Kyrie Irving. So he's great in those situations. But as the year goes on, he doesn't make other people better. Look at Jaylen Brown, okay? Last year, in the playoffs, he averaged 18 points per game on 14.8 shots. Okay, 46 from the field, 39 from three. This year, he's averaging 12.7 points per game. And he's shooting 44% from the field, 32 from three. And I'm not saying that's all Kyrie's fault, but Jaylen Brown isn't getting the ball in the necessary spots for him to play better. Okay, you look at Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum last year in the postseason, 18.5 a game. Now he's at 16 a game. Okay, he was shooting 47% from the field in the playoffs. Now he's shooting 45. Shouldn't it be easier for Jason Tatum? Shouldn't Jason Tatum be getting better shots now that he's playing with Kyrie Irving? If Kyrie Irving really is the superstar that Kyrie Irving thinks he is, if Kyrie Irving is really that superstar, shouldn't it be easier for these guys? Shouldn't their shooting percentages actually go up? Because theoretically, the Jason Tatums of the world, the Jaylen Browns of the world, should be getting easier shots now that they're playing with Kyrie Irving. Okay, how about Terry Rozier, by the way? Terry Rozier, not that he really plays with Kyrie. They do sometimes, but he's down to 9 points a game. Not that Kyrie was going to help Terry, but because he doesn't play with him too much at the same time. But then you think about it, Al Horford, right? 12 points a game on 10 shots a game this season. Last year in the postseason, almost 16 points a game. Now, Tatum had the great series against the Cavaliers, but throughout the postseason, Al Horford was the best player on the Celtics. What he did defensively, what he did offensively, Al Horford was incredible this year, and you could say maybe some of it's age, but I also know that for some reason, you're supposed to have this all-world point guard in Kyrie Irving, and Al Horford's not getting easier shots. How does that happen? How is Al Horford not getting easier shots if he's playing with Kyrie Irving, who is supposedly one of the best point guards in the NBA? Great player, but he does not make other people better. That's what happens when you're one of the focal points in the NBA. LeBron James makes people better, right? And I'm not comparing Kyrie and LeBron, but LeBron gets guys like Mike Miller to shoot a higher percentage, right? Mo Williams was an all-star when he played with LeBron James. Okay, when you look at somebody like Kyrie Irving, there's nobody on the Celtics roster, and all these guys are so talented. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford. None of these guys have been playing better since they've been playing with Kyrie Irving. In fact, it's the opposite. It's the opposite with Kyrie Irving. When Kyrie Irving is out of the lineup, like in the postseason last year, like at certain times this year, when he's out of the lineup, the Celtics are better. How does that make sense? Kyrie Irving, the team is better in terms of the individuals. They're actually better when you're not on the floor. You ever see these games where Kyrie doesn't play and Jason Tatum does? Like that game the other night against the Cavaliers, last week. Jason Tatum decided in the first quarter, I'm just going to do my thing in the first quarter, okay? He had 10 points in the first quarter because he's like, oh, I'm free. Kyrie Irving isn't around me. I don't have to worry about Kyrie because when Kyrie's on the court, everybody just stands around when Kyrie does his thing. And look, I'm sitting there watching it. It's great to watch. Kyrie Irving can break everybody down off the dribble. It looks like you're watching somebody on the playground. The guy's incredible. The things that he does, it's like a Harlem Globetrotter out there, the moves that he puts on the defense. Nobody can stay in front of the guy. But at the same time, the rest of the team is just watching you do your job and nobody else is getting open. Nobody else is getting open shots. And then on top of all of it, Kyrie Irving after the game is going to call you out. That's what's going to happen. So I don't want five more years of that with Kyrie Irving. And I get it, it was a great trade at the time, but I don't want five more years of this with Kyrie Irving if there isn't another star that comes in. And in particular, if that star isn't better than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is great in the postseason, but he's not going to carry you throughout the regular season. If you get Anthony Davis, fine. But if it's just Kyrie Irving coming back with this group, these guys already don't like Kyrie Irving. Now, Jason Tatum does, but do you think Jaylen Brown's a big fan of Kyrie Irving? He's the one that said when Kyrie called the young guys out that we got to stop calling each other out. The young guy on the team actually said that to Kyrie. So I don't want to deal with that going forward. I'll rather go out there and try to get somebody else that's disgruntled down the road. Whether it be, okay, Bradley Beal, who's upset with the Wizards, those type of guys. Because they'll appreciate the situation. Bradley Beal is in a horrible situation in Washington. That team sucks. John Wall is out for the season. He has an awful contract. Bradley Beal would appreciate playing for a winner and a professional organization. Same thing with somebody like Damian Lillard. Not to say the Blazers aren't a professional organization, but he's playing with CJ McCollum and that's it. You don't think he would thrive in this situation and not take it for granted like Kyrie Irving is, where he just wants to blame everybody but himself? So no thanks. If Kyrie Irving is in a situation where it's just Kyrie Irving next year, I'm sorry. I'm building my team around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and I'll figure out the rest. Because right now, this is what I know. This gets you the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. It gets you the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. That's what Kyrie Irving gets you. And everybody else is better without him. They've all played better without him. Now, I'm not stupid. I'm not saying the Celtics are a title team without Kyrie Irving. And they're not making the run in the postseason like they did last season, this season, because the East is so much better. But I am saying this. He doesn't make anybody else better. So no. No thanks on a five-year extension with Kyrie Irving. All right. Unless, like I said, caveat, if Anthony Davis is coming, okay. Then we're talking about a totally different scenario. Number 617-779-7937. Let's get to Owen, who is in Westford. What's up, Owen?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. What do you got?
Well, I just think it's, I was saying it's not Brad Stevens' fault because I think once they started getting more better players, he backs down to the prima donnas a little bit about, well, I can't get this guy mad. I got to give him minutes and stuff like that. And I think it's more of a players' league. And if they're going to play, they're going to play. Maybe they'll listen to the coach. Could be any coach, really. And I think they're calling the shots. And like you said about Kyrie, he wants the ball. He wants to do this, do that. But he's not a number one guy.
Yeah.
He's a number two.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. He's a number two guy. That's what he is. He's a number two guy in this league. And now when you look at it going into, say, the postseason, in all of these matchups against the premier teams in the Eastern Conference, the top four teams, and I understand right now the Pacers are third, but I don't put them into this category because without Oladipo, they're going to trail off. And even with Oladipo, the Pacers don't have the same type of roster as these other teams do. But if you go into a playoff series with any of these teams, whether it be Philadelphia, whether it be the Bucks, or whether it be Toronto, the other team will have the best player in each one of those series. I'm sorry. Kawhi Leonard is a better player than Kyrie Irving. Kawhi Leonard is a dominant defender, and Kawhi Leonard is a wingman who has been a finals MVP. I get that, you know what, he wasn't an extraordinary scorer at that point in time, but this is a guy that's been top three in the MVP voting. We know that he can score at will, and we know that there's not much you can do defensively against him. And we know on the other side he's going to be an elite defender. You look at the Bucks. Who are you taking, Giannis or Kyrie? The guy that's 6'10 with, like, I don't know, a 20-foot wingspan, for God's sakes, that takes two dribbles from half court. Okay, who are you taking, Giannis or Kyrie? And you can say, oh, well, look what happened in the postseason last year with Giannis. Yeah, that was really like when he first emerged as a superstar in the league. He had taken steps the past couple of years, but last year is when he was a superstar. Now you look at that team with what they put around Giannis. When you look at guys like Brooke Lopez hitting threes, Chris Middleton, an all-star hitting threes, Eric Bledsoe's actually had a good year despite what he did last year in the postseason. Malcolm Brogdon can hit threes. You bring over Mirotic. So he's got all this room to operate with all these shooters around him. It's kind of like what LeBron had back in the day when he was in Miami. Who are you taking, Giannis or Kyrie? Yeah, I'll take Giannis, okay? And then you look at the Philadelphia 76ers against the Celtics at a series. Now, I understand that Joel Embiid got gassed in the postseason a year ago, but who would you take? Would you rather have Joel Embiid or Kyrie Irving? I'm sorry, I'd rather have the 7'2", whatever he is, Joel Embiid, who is an incredible defender. And, oh, by the way, nobody in the world can stop that guy defensively. And you can say, well, the Celtics did a good job last year. Yeah, but Joel Embiid continues to get better. He gets to the line more than anybody in the NBA besides James Harden. Okay, you can't defend that guy. And then he's got all these guys around him, the Tobias Harrises, the Jimmy Butlers of the world. Okay, J.J. Redick, one of the best shooters we've seen in the league as of recent years. You have all those guys and Ben Simmons. Okay, so in all these matchups, you're going to have the worst star. Okay, not to say that Kyrie Irving's not a good player, but all these other guys are great stars. And Joel Embiid, you know what he does? He actually makes other guys better because when he's in the post, he can kick it out. He gets guys wide open shots. You think it's a coincidence that J.J. Redick is having his best year of his career now that he's in Philadelphia at 34? No, because Embiid makes him better. You think guys like Chris Middleton is an all-star and guys like Brooke Lopez are having their best years? It's because they're playing with Giannis. Giannis makes those guys better. That's what happens with these superstars. They make other people better. Kyrie Irving, same point, does not make other people better. That's just the reality of the situation. Kyrie Irving is not going to make other guys on this team better. He didn't do it in Cleveland. Okay, remember, and I get he was young, but that Cleveland team was absolutely horrendous when Kyrie Irving was the main guy. Remember what happened in Cleveland when LeBron went back to Cleveland? They had the number one pick in the draft because Cleveland sucked. Okay, Cleveland was horrible that they had the number one pick in the draft that the Cavaliers, I think it was Anthony Bennett, who turned out to be a bust. He ends up getting traded with Andrew Wiggins in that Kevin Love trade, right? Because the Cavaliers were so bad with Kyrie Irving as their main guy. And there was issues in the locker room then with Kyrie Irving before LeBron even got there. Everywhere Kyrie Irving goes, and some of it is LeBron, but there was issues with Kyrie Irving in Cleveland originally. Him and Dion Waiters didn't get along, and he was even thinking about not signing with the Cavaliers because he wasn't happy with the organization. Then they put the extension in front of him, the max level extension, and he signed it. Okay, and then if you look at it, the situation with LeBron, those two never got along. Now, Kyrie was right in some of this where he was upset LeBron was calling him the kid and all this different stuff. They didn't get along. But then he apologizes to LeBron years later, which, again, as a Celtics fan, just has to irk you. Like, the biggest rival to the Celtics for the past decade has been LeBron James, whether he's with the Heat or the Cavaliers, with the big three with Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen until Ray Allen left. But LeBron was your arch nemesis. LeBron's the guy that got Ray Allen to go to Miami. He's the guy that beat you in playoff series multiple times. He's the guy that just beat you in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Kyrie, everybody loved Kyrie in Boston because he wanted to get away from LeBron James. And then a couple of weeks ago, he's going to say that LeBron James was right and he apologized to the way that he handled things in Cleveland. That's the last thing you want to hear as a fan of the Celtics. Like, if Kyrie's trying to work his way out of town, that would be a way to do it. If you want to continue to upset the fan base, continue to praise LeBron James and say he was right. It's like the whole thing for you getting here was that you wanted to get away from LeBron. You wanted to be your own man. You wanted to be your team. You wanted to stop hearing stupid stuff from LeBron in terms of his leadership style. And then you're going to double down or double back and say, well, actually, LeBron was doing things the right way. It was me. I was too young to handle LeBron at that particular point in my career, as I paraphrase here. Okay, so you have Kyrie saying all this stuff about LeBron James. Unbelievable. Does this guy just want to be disliked in this city? Because that's what he's getting to at this point. He is. Can you imagine if he leaves too? How disliked Kyrie Irving would be in this city? The guy just, it seems like he needs drama around him 24/7. It seems like he wants to have people feel uncomfortable around him. He wants the organization to feel uncomfortable. And is that the guy that you want to build your future around? A guy that likes to make other players feel uncomfortable where they're continually getting called out. A guy that will on national television, not national television, I should say, local television, because they were playing the Magic, wants to call out the coach in a huddle because he doesn't like the play because the play's going to somebody else. And then he's going to yell at the guy taking the inbounds pass because he's following the coach's orders. Gordon Hayward against that game with the Magic had two options. Go to Jason Tatum for a nice shot or give it to Al Horford and have Kyrie run off Horford and get a shot, and you're going to undress Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens, two guys, and then after the game, you're going to call out all the young guys on the team saying they don't know what it's like to win a championship. I'm asking because I don't. I don't want to build the organization of the Celtics around that guy for 5 years going forward after this year if he doesn't get Anthony Davis. Now, if Kyrie Irving does his best and the Celtics are able to pull off a trade for Anthony Davis and they still want to do it despite the fact that Anthony Davis has leaked out there that he does not want to sign with the Celtics long term and his father has said that type of stuff. But if they are able to pull that deal off, because obviously they have the best package that would be on the table, if he's able to do that, I'm fine with it. Because you know what Kyrie Irving is going to be? The number two guy on this team. Anthony Davis steps up. He's the number one guy on this team. But I don't want Kyrie Irving being the face of this franchise to be the number one player on this team with everything that has gone on the past year and a half now with all the drama, not to mention the fact that he's an injury risk. Last year doesn't play in the postseason. A couple of years ago with the Cavs, gets hurt in game one of the NBA Finals, can't finish that off, and now we're dealing with another knee injury with Kyrie Irving, and I get it's his other knee, not the one he had surgery on, but it was a hip issue before this, so all these different issues are mounting up with Kyrie Irving in terms of the health, the off-the-court stuff that he's going to continually call out his teammates, all this different type of stuff. I'm sorry. He's not good enough for me to deal with him as the number one player on the team. If it's Kevin Durant, if it's LeBron James, if it's Steph Curry, I'm fine with it. Those guys want to be divas. And by the way, Curry, we know, is not a diva. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, if it's those guys, okay, I'm cool with it. But I'm sorry, Kyrie, you're not in that class. You're not in that class. You're not in that ultimate superstar class. You're a little step below. You're the wingman. I'm sorry. You're Robin on a championship-level team. You are. That's the reality of the situation. And if you ask me, you're going to sign this guy to a long-term contract with him being the star? No. I'm sorry. I don't want it whatsoever. Unless Danny Ainge can pull off a fast one on Kyrie and get him to take less money. But does anybody see that happening with the way Kyrie handles his business? Anybody see Kyrie taking a hometown discount? No. I don't see Kyrie Irving being the guy that's going to take a hometown discount, if you will. Okay? And geez, can the guy be less grateful? Can the guy be less grateful? All these young players on the team, and Kyrie Irving, all he wants to do is call them out. Like, can you try to help them get better? Like, you keep saying they don't know what it's like to win a championship. Okay, yeah, you're probably right, Kyrie, but they have done something. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. Can you maybe help them, maybe guide them, instead of just saying to everybody in the world that these guys can't handle it right now? That would be my question to Kyrie. Could you maybe do that? Maybe do that. Maybe it'll help out the Celtics a little bit if you actually cater and help the young guys rather than just say every time you lose that it's essentially the young guy's fault. I'm paraphrasing his words, but that's essentially what he does every other week. And then if it's not that, it's his contract. He's upset about his contract. Not upset about his contract, but after he says he's going to stay with the Celtics, he comes back and he wants to say what? Oh, talk to me on July 1st. I don't know anybody bleep. Okay, Kyrie. You didn't have to say that you wanted to stay with the team long term. You said that. That was your free will that you made that announcement because you know what? You wanted the attention. And then you wanted more attention for saying you weren't going to stay with the team or saying, talk to me on July 1st. Okay, so I'm sick and tired of the guy. It's getting aggravating to the point where it's like, if you're going to sign this guy and be the star, no thanks. He's not going to be the number one guy on this team long term if I was running the Celtics. A lot more to get into. Number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's WEEI at night on Sports Radio WEEI.
obviously, this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people, and Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship, and it was hard for him, and sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, that's one guy, Kyrie Irving, that really gets the pulse of this city. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next about hour and a half or so. Yeah, Kyrie Irving really gets the pulse of this city. How about the reputation that Kyrie Irving has in this city over the past 6 months, how much it's changed? Do you remember when Kyrie Irving went out to those season ticket holders and said, hey, if you guys will have me back, I want to be here long term? Then he does the commercial with his dad where he says, I want my jersey to be hanging up there in the rafters. Okay, his 11 jersey. He does all that kind of stuff, and you're like, as a Celtics fan, yeah, he's buying into the tradition. We want him here. We're buying into Kyrie, all in on Kyrie. Then he starts calling out the teammates. And once you're like, okay, he's calling out the young guys, I'm okay. Then he does it again and again, okay? And then, as you just heard, he calls up LeBron James to say, like, oh, LeBron, you were fine for how you were treating me when I was a young player. Because Kyrie's trying to say, like, oh, it's okay to just go out in the media and call out guys. Remember, LeBron was upset years ago that Kyrie didn't have an assist in a game, so he called him out. Kyrie's like, oh, yeah, that's the way you do it. So when things don't go well for me, I'm just going to call everybody out. That's what LeBron did. So now, and considering the fact that everybody in this town hates LeBron, nobody likes LeBron because LeBron has beat the Celtics so many times in playoff series, okay, and almost beat the 2008 championship team. That went to 7 games, okay? So he almost beat that team. That's how good LeBron James is, okay? And that guy that's been a rival of this organization, who you said you left the Cavaliers, or we're paraphrasing, the reason you did leave was because you wanted to get away from that guy. Then you say that, oh, actually, you know what? He was right. You're giving that guy credit? Okay. So, and then on top of all of this, you come out a couple of weeks ago after making the announcement that you wanted to stay in Boston. You say, I don't know anybody bleep, and talk to me on July 1st. So all that with Kyrie Irving. He goes from great, his approval rating through the roof, to now it's like, really? What's going on with this guy? How can you change so dramatically in a couple of months? Because some of the young guys haven't been living up to your expectations, Kyrie. Well, why don't you work on something to try to help them get better, to try to figure out what these problems are, instead of just routinely calling them out in the media? Let's get to Dante, who's in New York tonight. What's up, Dante?
Hey, Brian, listen, you have the best analysis about what's going on with Kyrie Irving. Let me just add, do you remember last year in the finals when he actually missed the whole finals because of he had surgery?
Yeah, on his knee.
He could have scheduled that surgery way beforehand.
Yeah.
Him not to be there, to me, is the biggest knock on his leadership. You can't be a leader and not be there for your team. I really think that right there was the beginning of the end for Kyrie.
Yeah, and Dante, remember this? Remember he wasn't at Game 7? Remember that? He wasn't on the sideline because now the Celtics said like he was having something like an IV or something along those lines, or he had some kind of appointment. I think it was like he had something for a deviated septum maybe even that he needed to get surgery and they had to schedule it on Game 7. Kyrie Irving wasn't on the sidelines during Game 7 of that game. Wasn't on the sidelines. Why do you think that is, Dante? I don't think it has anything to do with the deviated septum or whatever it is. I'm pretty sure you can schedule that surgery if you're a famous athlete anytime you want. I think that was about what if they won? What if they beat the Cavaliers without Kyrie Irving? How bad would that have looked for Kyrie Irving that these guys without their star beat LeBron James and the Cavaliers? That's what I think it was about.
I think Kyrie's talent overshadows his bad decision-making.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Appreciate the phone call, Dante. You want to grab his line, it's open, 617-779-7937. His talent certainly outweighs his bad decision-making in terms of the perception. Everybody buys into Kyrie Irving being this star player, which he is. He's a star, but he's not a superstar. He's not on that next level. That was so awkward last year when Kyrie Irving wasn't on the sidelines for Game 7 of the NBA Finals. He wasn't there. It's just one of the more bizarre things that you can see where the star player sitting out when he's hurt, his team is trying to do things, and he's not there. And I believe it was a deviated septum surgery, something along those lines. I know that there was some kind of procedure he had. And I'm not saying they were lying that he had this procedure, but I'm pretty sure whatever the procedure was that Kyrie Irving had that day, it could have waited a couple of days until, you know, after the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, don't you think if you're Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, like, you want that guy on the sideline? You want that guy who's supposed to be the leader? He's supposed to be the leader of the team. He's not there. Don't you think if you're one of those guys, you want to look over and you want to see Kyrie Irving there cheering you on and maybe in the huddle helping you out? Like when you come to the sidelines, considering the fact that this guy is an NBA champion, this is a guy that hit the biggest shot in the history of the Cavaliers organization. Don't you think at some point you would have liked to say to Kyrie during that game, hey, Kyrie, I'm seeing this coverage on this. What would you do if you were in the game right now? Or Kyrie could have voluntarily went over to him and said, hey, this is what you should do right now. This is what you should do right now. I wonder how much that playoff run killed Kyrie Irving inside. I wonder, because it's kind of weird if you're Kyrie. Because if the team goes out in the first round, it's like, yeah, they didn't have Kyrie. And Kyrie's like, oh, yeah, once they get Kyrie back, we needed Kyrie, all this type of stuff. But then it's like, oh, wait, hold on. All these guys went to the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie Irving. And now you're just going to treat us like dirt? That's essentially what you're just going to call us out? That's what you're going to do? And look, I know Kyrie Irving has a relationship with Jason Tatum and they're friends and all that. But if I was Jason Tatum, I would still be pissed about the Orlando Magic game when he's upset that he didn't get the ball at the end of the game and you're the guy that got the shot. I was like, hold on, Kyrie. I thought you wanted me to be your wingman, so to speak. I thought you wanted me to be your number two. I thought that's why we're hanging out all the time. I thought that's why we're going on vacation with Kevin Durant all the time, because you want me to be your second banana. I thought that's what you were developing me rather for. I thought that's what we were doing here. And now when I get a shot at the end of the game, you're going to be upset to the point where you're calling out Brad Stevens and you're calling out Gordon Hayward because I got a shot? Hold on, man. I'm supposed to be pretty good at this thing. Oh, you know, I was the third pick in the draft. I've been pretty good throughout my NBA career so far, considering the fact that I'm only 20 years old. And you're upset that I got the shot? That Gordon Hayward thought I had a better look than you would have had? You're upset about that? And then Jaylen Brown, he goes to the bench and Kyrie Irving continues to call him out. Like, think about Jaylen Brown right now and everything that Marcus Morris said last night about the fact that this team looks at themselves as individuals. And we know who he was calling out. He was calling out Jaylen Brown. He was calling out Jason Tatum. And he was calling out Terry Rozier, mainly Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown's the one that went back at Kyrie Irving a couple of months ago when he said, we have to do this together. We can't be calling each other out. We can't continue to call people out. We have to do this thing together. Jaylen Brown, the young guy on the team, said that. How do you think Jaylen Brown feels every time Kyrie Irving wants to call him out? How do you think Jaylen Brown feels that his role has been completely diminished and he's trying to adjust to a new role? And as he's trying to adjust to this new role, and as he was struggling through the first couple of months of the season, all you had was Kyrie Irving calling him out. When Jaylen Brown got used to a new system last year in the playoffs, where it's like, hey, Jaylen, we're going to ask you to take over some games. But now it's like this year, we're not going to ask you to do that because we have Kyrie and we have Jason Tatum and Marcus Morris has played better. So you're like the fifth or sixth option now. You got to get used to that. And he's trying to make that sacrifice. And I'm not defending Jaylen Brown's play at the beginning of the season because he played awfully. He deserved to go to the bench. But he's trying to adjust to this. And as he's trying to adjust to this, trying to get used to his new role, and Kyrie's taking all the shots and dribbling the leather off the ball, Kyrie Irving is going to call him out in front of the media. That's what Kyrie Irving is going to do. How would you feel if you were Jaylen Brown? How would you feel? Terry Rozier is trying to sacrifice for the team. Okay, he could have gotten traded. Okay, he could have demanded a trade because he wanted more money after what he did in the postseason, averaging like, what, 16, 18 points per game. Some team would have paid Terry Rozier more money than the Celtics offered him. Now Terry Rozier has lost leverage when he goes into free agency because they're going to say, hey, you're down 13 minutes per game. You're averaging like 9 points a game. Why are we going to give you $20 million when there's so many good point guards around the league? Why would we give you $20 million? So Terry Rozier has lost his leverage completely in free agency, and he's getting called out by Kyrie Irving. How would you feel if you were one of these young guys? Let's get to Joe in Uxbridge. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, good. What do you got?
Hey, yeah, so the thing with Kyrie, I think, from what I've been seeing for the past year, is that he got everything from LeBron. He's an ultimate front runner, just like LeBron. LeBron, when things are going well, he's a, you know, the biggest star. Like, yeah, look at me, look at what I can do for the team. And once you start seeing the writing on the wall, when they start, you know, falling apart, guess what? Oh, let me look at Miami. Oh, let me look at this team. Oh, let me look at that team. And I think that's what Kyrie is doing. It's like, beginning of the season, everything was roses. The Celtics came off of a Game 7 Eastern Conference Final. Yeah, that looked good. All I got to do is come in, you know, do my thing, and then everything will be great. And then, you know, they start struggling, and then that's when you start seeing Kyrie you know, looking at, hey, you know, maybe I'm not, I don't want to sign up for a long term with this team. So I think a lot of it is just what he's gained from LeBron and, you know, his whole mentality. A lot of these young guys are. Like, they have really poor leadership, and that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, Joe, this is the same Kyrie Irving, Joe, okay? This is the same Kyrie Irving that, remember, before the season said, I would be dumb to leave Boston. We're going to be pretty bleeping good here. The future is pretty bright in Boston. He was talking about the young guys on the team. He just said that like 6-7 months ago, and now all he does is call them out. It's like, well, Kyrie, if these guys aren't living up to expectation, you're the star of the team. You're supposed to make them better. It's like when Tom Brady gets these receivers, he's supposed to elevate what they do. And we see him do it, it seems like, each and every time. But with Kyrie, it's like you're talking about before the season how great the team is, how the future is so bright. And now when you get into tough situations on the season, you don't try to handle this internally. You just go out publicly and blame everybody but yourself. That's what you do. You point fingers if you're Kyrie Irving. That's what he does. He points the fingers at the young guys. Hey, it's not me. I got a championship. I've been through this. These guys don't know what it's like. Well, why don't you teach them what it's like to get to that level? That's what frustrates me, Joe.
Yeah, no, same here. And that's why, you know what, honestly, I don't want to see him back in the Celtics uniform. I'd rather see, like, a real leader to you know, lead the Celtics, because he's not one of them.
And
I think, honestly, I'm fine with, you know, if he leaves, we don't get Anthony Davis. I'm fine with the young guys and just, you know, roll with the dice with those guys. But I can't see him leading a team to any championship. He's, like you said, he's a second fiddle.
Yeah.
And most likely, I want to see him with LeBron, because I'm going to keep laughing my way down, like, yeah, you think you're all that, you thought you were a leader, and look, you're back at LeBron's coattail, and, you know, you're not a leader, you're a front runner, just like a lot of the other guys in the NBA.
Yeah, Joe, appreciate the call. You can grab his line, 617-779-7937. Can you imagine how bad that would look for Kyrie? After all he said about LeBron, after all he did to get away from LeBron, if he actually went to L.A. to play with LeBron, that would just look so emasculating for Kyrie Irving. If he goes to the Knicks, have fun with the Knicks if he goes there. James Dolan, the worst owner in the sport. Yeah, have fun there, Kyrie. See what you can do there, okay? See what you can do over in New York, Kyrie. And leave $50 million on the table. Let's see if you actually have the stones to do that. You're going to do it like guys like Durant does, sign a 1+1. Yeah, I really would like to see Kyrie Irving actually do that. With all the injury history that he's had, the guy could not be less appreciative for what he has with this organization. It's unbelievable to me. And can you imagine saying that, what Joe said, and I agree with Joe. If Anthony Davis is not coming to the Celtics, I've said it, I do not want Kyrie Irving back as the main star on this team. He's a second fiddle. He's a second banana. That's what Kyrie Irving is. He's a new version of Allen Iverson. You're never going to win a championship with Kyrie Irving as your best player. He doesn't make anybody else better. Look at the numbers and look at the reality. Jaylen Brown's better when he's not there. Jason Tatum's better when he's not there. Al Horford's better when he's not there. All these guys are better when Kyrie Irving isn't there. Okay, so that's the reality of the situation. Okay, and can you imagine from all this stuff he said preseason about how bright the future is, how if the season ticket holders will have him, he wants to stay here, to this point now, where people actually want Kyrie Irving, myself included, gone. Think about that. That's where Kyrie Irving is. That's what Kyrie Irving has done to the fan base. All right, a lot more to get into in terms of the Celtics. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Shared it with some of my teammates as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here next year.
Ask me July 1st.
Yeah, there he is, Kyrie Irving. Yeah, not a hypocrite at all. Tell us the season ticket holders before the season. If you'll have me back, I want to stay here long term. 6 months later, ask me on July 1st. He doesn't owe anybody belief, according to Kyrie Irving. All right, man. Well, maybe don't say that to the season ticket holders then. Man, that guy is going to be so hated if he's not back with the Celtics in the future after what he did. Essentially, he'll just be like leaving the Celtics at the altar. I don't think he has the balls to leave $50 million on the table, though. Kyrie Irving, I don't see it. With the injury history, I just don't see it. Jeez. Talk about an image hit in the past 6 months. in this town. How about Kyrie Irving? Unbelievable. Speaking of brainiacs like Kyrie Irving, the dumb comments he makes, and I never get anything out of Kyrie Irving's comments. They just sound dumb to me. He never says something where I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But anyway, speaking of other brainiacs, did you see this tweet from Jim Irsay last night? I don't know what Jim Irsay was doing. I know that Jim Irsay is somebody that's been controversial in the past, but this is what he had to say on Twitter the other night. Last night, quote, "Let me be clear. The Patriots are the greatest team in the Super Bowl era, hands down. It's just always been my opinion and goal. Three consecutive world championships in the Super Bowl era is the GOAT standard. That remains untouched and unachieved. It's the condensed greatness that screams GOAT, and it screams it bleeping loud. Excuse my language. The condensed greatness refers to three in a row. Let me be clear, which has never been done in the Super Bowl era."
What is this, Quentin? What's up, man? Hey, you fired up?
That's what he called Quentin Nelson to tell you it's drafting him. Imagine being Quentin Nelson being like, this is the owner? This is the owner of the team, Jim Irsay. This is the owner. But what does this even mean? What is Jim Irsay even talking about? So he's saying the greatest of all time standard is untouched and underachieved, meaning if you're going to be the greatest football team in the Super Bowl era, you have to win three consecutive Super Bowls. Yet nobody's done that. Nobody has won three straight Super Bowls in the Super Bowl era. Okay, so Jim Irsay's standard is to be the greatest of all time in terms of a team, you have to win three consecutive Super Bowls. But the problem with his logic is nobody has won three consecutive Super Bowls. So what do? There just can't be a greatest of all time team in terms of the Super Bowl era because Jim Irsay's standards are you have to win three in a row. So the Patriots can't be the greatest of all time, according to Jim Irsay. Now, they're the best team in the Super Bowl era, but they can't live up to what Jim Irsay says, the GOAT standard, because they haven't won three in a row. That's like saying, like, in the NBA, the modern NBA, so like 1980 on, nobody's won four championships in a row. And by my standard I'm setting right now on this show, in terms of being the greatest of all time in terms of a basketball team, you have to win four championships in a row. In the modern NBA, I'm not going back to the Celtics of the 60s and whatnot, but in the modern NBA, you got to win four in a row. So by that standard, the Bulls never won four in a row. Magic's Lakers never won four in a row. The 80s Celtics never won four in a row. The Spurs never won four in a row. The Warriors haven't won four in a row. So we can't have a greatest of all time team because they didn't win four in a row. Like that logic by Jim Irsay, what is he doing? What is he talking about? The guy just makes no sense whenever he opens up his mouth. And that's when I think about it. You wonder why the Patriots have been winning all these years. You have a genius in Bill Belichick and you have a great owner in Robert Kraft. This is the owner of another team. Think about Jim Irsay. He owns the Indianapolis Colts. They had Peyton Manning, who was one of the best prospects coming out of college, a guy that won five MVPs. And he had Andrew Luck, who was considered to be, and he still has Andrew Luck, who is considered to be the best prospect since John Elway. He's had those two quarterbacks. They have one Super Bowl because you have this idiot who owns the team. Think about it. He hired Ryan Grigson. He fired Bill Polian years ago, who was a Hall of Fame executive, okay? Built the Bills into a perennial contender, if you will. Won four straight AFC championships. Then he goes to Indianapolis. He gets Peyton Manning and he drafts Robert Mathis and all these different type of guys, the Bob Sanders of the world, the Dwight Freeneys of the world. He builds Indianapolis into a perennial contender. And then you say, you know what? Actually, when we're rebuilding this thing, Peyton Manning's going to Denver. Bill Polian, along with Peyton Manning, has made this team relevant for the past 15 years. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fire him and bring in Ryan Grigson, who has like no experience as a GM. Ryan Grigson comes in and he trades away a first-round draft pick for Trent Richardson, okay? For Trent Richardson. And then Ryan Grigson just continues to draft guys that make no sense with the team, like a Philip Dorsett when you already had T.Y. Hilton, okay? That's why the Patriots are great, because you have Robert Kraft running things in New England, and then you have Bill Belichick under him, and Robert Kraft says, hey, Bill, do your job, okay? Do whatever you think is great. You had a Hall of Famer in Bill Polian, and you sent him packing. You have Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, five-time MVP and Peyton Manning, and Andrew Luck, who was the number one pick, who threw 40 touchdown passes way back in 2014. And you have one Super Bowl with that guy. One Super Bowl with that guy. Like, what an embarrassment. And he's out here last night. This isn't even English. Three consecutive world championships in the Super Bowl era is the GOAT standard that remains untouched and unachieved. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay, so in order to be the best team of all time, you have to reach some standard that's never happened in the history of the league. What the hell does that even mean? What does that even mean? So we haven't had the best team of all time? Up until this point, you would say that the Patriots are the best franchise in the history of the NFL. That's just the reality of the situation. They've won 6 Super Bowl championships since 2001. 6 of them. So they're the greatest franchise, okay? Now, if by your standard somebody years from now wins 3 championships in a row and they win 7 total championships, then we can say that that team's better than the Patriots. But until then, your lofty standard of what it takes to be the greatest franchise in the NFL, until you actually see somebody reach that, we're going to say that the Patriots are the best franchise in the NFL, okay? That's kind of how these things go. We judge what we've seen, okay? We judge what we've seen. We can have arguments about things, but we can't have this ridiculous standard that doesn't exist and say nobody can claim that they're the greatest of all time because they haven't reached some standard that you arbitrarily decided this is what makes you the greatest football team of all time. My God. And poor Quentin Nelson. That guy's a great football player and had a great season with the Indianapolis Colts. But imagine getting that call from Bill Polian. He must have thought it was a prank. If that was me, if I got a call like that and I was an offensive lineman, receiver, whatever it is, if I was a first-round pick in the NFL and that's the call I got, hey, Quentin, like, what's up, bro? You excited? If that's the call I got, I would think it was a prank, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that was a prank? Unbelievable. All right, a lot more to get into tonight. I got you for the next hour here on WEI. Continue to get into the Celtics, maybe a little baseball as well, because I want something really, really badly to happen to the Yankees. We'll get to that as well. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
I've spilled more than you've drank, put it that way, you know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.